Can we welcome you all back again to the house of the Lord? Good to be back in God's house again. And we trust the Lord will bless you as you're joining with us this morning. For others who don't feel they can yet come back, we understand, but we trust that in weeks, days and weeks to come, they will feel able to be back with us in the house of the Lord. Do you remember season of prayer in our homes this afternoon? We urge you to continue to pray and to seek the Lord. This is the answer to our situation and to our land and to the needs of many. Remember the offering baskets at the exits. Today is Building Fund Sunday. All loose collections and Building Fund envelopes go to the Building Fund. There are separate baskets for offerings for Faith in Action missions. We had a video some weeks ago online for Brother Donald Fleming and the work he represents. So those baskets are marked for that purpose as well. If you want to give to that, you can do so as you leave this morning. Remember the various exits and do remember to leave as you have been doing in the past. It's so easy to forget, but do keep in mind the social distancing and all of the arrangements we have for hand sanitizing. We have new modern hand sanitizers. You don't have to touch anything. Just put your hand beneath them and it'll do the job. And so remember that too. And of course, keep in mind all of these health arrangements are face coverings unless you're exempt from that as well. Do remember the gospel service online tonight, and I will be the preacher myself. The subject, the question of the soul, and ministry and song from our sister Natasha. Trust you'll be able to join us in the online service this evening. And then Wednesday evening, our Bible study and prayer meeting in the church hall at 8 p.m., continuing studies and the survey of the New Testament this week, looking at the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. Arrangements for session committee members are available to do some necessary work prior to the meeting on Wednesday at 7 p.m. or, if required, immediately after the meeting. Do remember also on Friday night, the Youth Council rally. The link will be sent out for this rally, the Youth Council, on Friday night. Reverend Paul Foster is a speaker. Special contribution also from our brother Chris Killen, representing the work among those with addiction problems. All youth are welcome to come online for that on Friday night, 8 o'clock. Next Lord's Day, do remember the services and pray for God's blessing upon his word, 11:30 and 7. Do pray for all who are affected by the virus and other illnesses at this time. Remember our organist and one of our treasurers, Mr. Robert Catterson, who's in hospital at this time. Pray for Robert that the Lord will minister to him and restore him to health and strength. For others going through treatments, remember Mary as she starts her treatment soon, to pray for her, and others who are going through treatments and who are ill, waiting for procedures or appointments. Do remember the prayer letter for the work in Merthyr, Tydfil, that's in Wales, from the Reverend Nigel Smith. Those are available at the exits this morning as you leave the service. You can pick them up this morning. We're going to join in the singing of the Psalm 122. It'll appear on the screen. I joyed when to the house of God go up, they said to me. We sing moderately, keeping our seats as we sing, and then we will stand after the psalm is sung for prayer. stand for prayer. Eternal, gracious, and loving Father, we thank thee for enabling us to meet in thy house again. We thank you for thy hand upon the church family during this period again when we've been locked down. We thank thee, O God, for thy word that has continued to go out by means of internet. And we pray that thou wilt bless the word in testimony and in song and in preaching that has gone forward. We pray that thou wilt bless thy word to the hearts of every hearer. And even today afresh, we pray that you'll come to our hearts and that you'll renew us and refresh us and build us up in our holy faith. You'll draw us ever closer to the wounded side of our Saviour. We come to thee today to pray for thy word as it goes forth today, that it may be in the power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. Remember the needs, O God, of the congregation. Those who are ill, we think of our brother Robert at this time. Pray for healing for Robert, that thou wilt release him from this infection. And Lord, that thou wilt keep thy hand upon him. And Lord, that thou wilt bless his wife and the family circle at this time. May they know thy presence. We pray for Mary as she goes forward for the treatment. Thou wilt go before her, and that thou wilt touch her, and that thou wilt completely restore. And for others who are going through treatments, or have family members going through treatments or situations, Lord, of health at this time, we pray that thou wilt remember each one, that thou wilt undertake for them. Thank you for your hand upon Reverend Fitzsimons in returning him from hospital. Continue to minister to him, to Reverend Abraham, to Reverend Wilson, these men who need your touch, other men who are affected in various ways at this time of your servants. We pray that you will touch them too and restore them to health and strength. Bless every family of our church. Remember the families with children going back to school the next tomorrow and in the next days and weeks. We pray that thy hand will be upon them too. Remember the homeschooling and those at university and those in the workplace. And those, O God, who are seeking to handle the situation being isolated at home. We pray that thou wilt bless each one at this time. That thou wilt give encouragement and strength to each member and friend of our congregation. Remember the community at large too, around us here. We pray that even through this, Lord, time of great challenge in the past year, the hearts of many will be turned to living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that thou wilt work, that thou wilt come, and that thou wilt answer prayer, even this day and in days to come. Lord, even as we your own people, surely we are being challenged by all of this too. And Lord, we can look at the world and say, oh, that's punishment for the world. But Lord, we realize you're correcting us too as your own people. And so help us, Lord, to receive that correction. Help us, Lord, to remember that thou dost chastise us for our wrongs as thy people, as thy children. And for the unsaved, we pray that thou wilt enlighten them and show them their need of the Lord Jesus Christ and bring them to saving faith in the Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. And for God's eternal glory. Amen. You may be seated. Well, boys and girls, we're thinking about the story of Moses and the great flood. Noah. I've been thinking about Moses that much the last lot of weeks. I'm talking about Moses instead of talking about Noah. Noah and the great flood. And boys and girls, the great flood of waters came upon the earth. And of course, boys and girls, there was great fear at that particular time when the flood came upon the earth. But boys and girls, because of the sin of the people at that particular age, the flood of waters came upon the earth. God was dealing with mankind. God was dealing with the world at that time. And so he told Noah, of course, to build the ark. And Noah was a man who was one who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And boys and girls, he was told by the Lord to build the ark. The ark was the place of safety, the place of refuge for Noah and for his family. And so, boys and girls, we discover how God provided the place of safety for the people in the ark. And two of every kind of the creatures of the earth were to go into the ark, and Noah and his family went into the ark. Boys and girls, it came to pass that the day came when the door was shut. The door of the ark was shut. And no one else could get in because God shut the door of the ark, boys and girls. And so this morning, you have an opportunity to come into the ark, because the ark speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ, the place of safety for your soul today. And if you'll come into the ark, if you will come into the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will find that peace and that place of safety for your soul today. And I trust that, boys and girls, even today, you will leave your sin and you will come into the ark and you will trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Now we're going to sing a little chorus, boys and girls, and we'll just keep our seats as we sing it just through the once. Wide, wide is the ocean. The ocean, high as the heavens above. Going to sing another hymn together, 465, again singing moderately as we remain seated, and then we will stand for prayer just before we come to the reading and the preaching of God's word this morning. 465, it will be on the screen. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take, he undertakes for me. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen.
You may be seated. Reading together from the Word of God. In the book of Joshua, chapter 23, we've been in this book. We're coming to the final message in the series in the book of Joshua, journeying through Joshua. And that message will be delivered just in a moment or two in the Lord's will. Joshua chapter 23, reading from the opening verse. And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. And ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain, to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan, with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you, and drive them from out of your sight. And ye shall possess their land, as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Be therefore very courageous, to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom, to the right hand or to the left. That ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the names of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. But cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase a thousand, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Take good heed therefore unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. Else, if ye do in any wise go back, and cleave unto the remnant of those nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you. But they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore it shall come to pass, that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things, until he hath destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. When ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you. You shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. Amen. We know that God will bless the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and blessed word. Let us turn to the Word of God here in the book of Joshua this morning. We're thinking about the end of an era. The end of an era. You read there in verse 14 of chapter 23. We've read it just now. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. The end of an era. And this is often used when a grandparent passes away or when parents pass from the scene of time. It is used too when a well-known public figure retires from their position to be replaced by their successor. When the owner of a business perhaps hands over to a family member or to someone else whom he has sold the business to. Today we use it in regard to the leadership of Joshua and the end of his days. It could well be used to describe the end of the days of Abraham, of Moses, of David, etc.
men of God who served the Lord faithfully in their day and generation. Joshua, the son of Nun, had died. His long life had begun in Egyptian bondage and ended in a worship service in the promised land, the land of Canaan. And in between those events, God had used him to lead Israel forward in defeating the enemy and in conquering the land and in claiming their promised inheritance. With the Apostle Paul, Joshua could sincerely say at the end of his life, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Joshua was about to go the way of all the earth, the way that you and I must go if the Lord doesn't return first. But at the end of a full and long life, Joshua's greatest concern wasn't himself. His greatest concern was for the people of God and their relationship to the Lord. He didn't want to leave until he had challenged them once again to love the Lord and to keep his commandments. His life's work would be in vain if they failed to keep the covenant and enjoy the blessings of the promised land. He first called a meeting of the leaders of the nation here in verse 2 of the passage we have read from, either at Shiloh or at his home in Ephraim. He warned them what would happen if they deserted the Lord. And then he gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem. Chapter 24, verse 1 teaches us. And he gave a farewell address, which reviewed the history of Israel, starting with Abraham, and challenged the people to love the Lord and to serve him alone. So at the end of his life, Joshua emphasized three important topics. It's to these topics that I want to focus your mind and attention in the closing moments of our service today. As we look at this subject, the end of an era. First of all, he emphasized the prospect. The prospect which lay before them. We have that in the portion of scripture we have read from this morning, chapter 23 of Joshua. Having assembled the leaders of the nation, Joshua presented them with two scenarios. First of all, obey the Lord, and he will keep you in the land, and he will bless you. And secondly, disobey the Lord, and he will judge you and remove you from the land. These were the terms of the covenant that were made with Israel at Mount Sinai, which Moses had repeated on the plains of Moab, and which Israel had reaffirmed at Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. Joshua's emphasis was on possessing the land here in verse 5 and enjoying its blessings, as is mentioned in verse 13 and verses 15 to 16. When Israel had gained control of Canaan, you see, there were still territories that needed to be possessed. Pockets of resistance that the enemy still had that needed to be overcome. And the task of the tribes of Israel wasn't something that was finished. And you know, the great danger was that the people of Israel would gradually change their attitudes and toward the pagan nations round about them and start accepting their ways and imitating their practices. And so to counteract this danger, Joshua gave the people three motives for remaining a separated people and for serving the Lord faithfully. First of all, he mentioned in verses 3 and 4 the works of the Lord. What God had done for his people in bringing them out of Egypt, fighting for them, and delivering them from their enemies. He drowned the Egyptian army in the sea, the Red Sea. He defeated the Amalekites who attacked them soon after they had left Egypt, according to Exodus chapter 17. The Lord defeated all of Israel's enemies as the nation marched towards Canaan. He gave his people victory over their enemies in the promised land. And this review of history reminded Israel of two great facts. First of all, that those Gentile nations were God's enemies, and therefore they must be Israel's enemies. And secondly, the same God who overcame the enemy in the past could overcome the enemy in the future. God has never failed us, my friends, and he never will. He faileth not. And as we look forward into the unknown future and the many uncertainties that we face in life, not just now, but generally, he would remind us of what he has done for us in the past. As we read the Word of God, we see the many things that God has done for his people in the past, for those who have trusted him. It encourages us today in the midst of all that we face, and for the future, to face all our enemies with courage and with confidence. And so he reminds them of the works of the Lord. But secondly, he reminds them of the words of the Lord. Verses 5 to 10 of the passage here in Joshua chapter 23. You see, the secret of Joshua's success, and therefore the reason for Israel's victories, was his devotion to the Word of God. His devotion to the Word of God. We see that in this passage of Scripture in verse 6. Be therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. Keep to the word of God. And that is something that Joshua did. And we find it in chapter 1 of Joshua, verses 7 to 9, and various other portions throughout the book of Joshua. You see, Joshua obeyed God's commandments. He believed God's promises, and God worked on his behalf. But even more, his devotion to the Lord enabled him to know God better, and to love him, and to want to please him. It isn't enough to know God's word, my friend. We must know the God of the word. And we must grow in our fellowship with him. Are you growing in the Lord, Christian? Are you growing in the Word? In the things concerning the Word of God? In your fellowship with the Lord? God kept all his promises. He had every right to expect Israel to keep all his commandments as well. You know, some of God's promises are unconditional. But some are conditional and depend upon our obedience for their fulfillment. Israel had entered and conquered the land as the fulfillment of God's promise. But their enjoyment of the land of Canaan depended on their obedience to the law of God. God would enable them to claim all their inheritance if they would obey him with all of their hearts. They must remain a separated people, not be infected by the wickedness of the Gentile nations around about them. Look at verses 7 and 8. That ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow down yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. And all of us, dear friends, this morning, in the course of our lives, feel the pressures of this world round about us, trying to force us to conform. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed to this world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, The love of the Father is not in him. 1 John chapter 2 teaches us. And you know, it takes courage to defy the crowd, to stay true to the Lord. And that's what was required of the people of God in Joshua's time. And that's what's required of us, even today, as God's people in 2021. It also takes love for the Lord and a desire to please him. Cleave unto the Lord, it says here in verse 8. And the promise in verse 10, it's mentioned here. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. It's a promise that was quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 30, which shows how well Joshua knew the word of God. You see, he meditated on God's word day and night. Chapter 1 verse 8 tells us that. Do you remember the psalmist in Psalm 1? He talked about, in his law doth he meditate day and night. How we need to meditate in God's word. And like the psalmist in Psalm 119 verse 11, that his word, the word of God, is hidden in our hearts, lest we should sin against the Lord. Are you in the word, Christian? Are you abiding in the word? Are you reading the word? Are you flittering away your time in idle pursuits instead of reading the word of God? Instead of spending time studying, meditating in God's word. And then, of course, the third thing here is, what would be done for Israel if they thought about the words of the Lord and the works of the Lord? What would be done to Israel? Well, verses 11 to 16 indicates what the Lord would do for them. And you know, the word of God is like a sharp two-edged sword. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12. If we obey it, God will bless us and help us. But if we disobey it, God will chasten us until we submit to him. Joshua reminded the people that God's word never fails. Whether it's the word of promise for blessing or the word of promise for chastening, both are the evidences of his love. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Scourgeth every son whom he possesseth. God will not allow his children to sin successfully, someone has written. And how true that is. God will chasten us when we sin as a people of God. And we do sin. And we do fail, all of us, preacher included. We all fail the Lord on a daily basis. Joshua's three admonitions in this address need to be heeded by God's people. Keep the word of God, verse 6. Cleave to the Lord. As we mentioned there, verse 8, love the Lord, as is mentioned in verse 11. Too many Christians have not only compromised with the enemy, but also have capitulated to the enemy. And the Lord is not first in their lives. Is the Lord first in your life today? You know, we can look at the situation as has developed over the past 12 months, and we say the Lord's dealing with the world. And I believe that. But the Lord's dealing with us. The Lord's dealing with his church. And let us never forget that. We're quick to point the finger outward sometimes. What about all the fingers that are pointing back to ourselves? And to me and to you this morning. It's the people of God. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. And so the prospect. But then the second thing here, in chapter 24, as we move into it, we didn't read it, but you can read it for yourself, is the past. And some of it is written that those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. Those that cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. A knowledge of their roots is very important to the Jews because they are God's chosen people with a destiny to fulfill in the world. Shechem was indeed the ideal location for this moving farewell address in chapter 24 of Joshua. It was at Shechem that God promised Abraham that his descendants would inherit the land. Genesis chapter 12, 6 and 7. And there also at Shechem, Jacob built an altar in Genesis 33, verse 20. Shechem
you will understand, was located between Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, where the people of Israel had reaffirmed their commitment to the Lord. You'll find that in chapter 8 of Joshua, verses 30 to 35. And so, it was holy ground here. Shechem was holy ground to the Israelites. And you know, if nation and land were key words in Joshua's first address, then the Lord is the major focus in his second address. For he refers to the Lord here some 21 times. See the emphasis. Another key word is serve, which is mentioned some 15 times in this address. You see, the people of God were a chosen people, chosen by the Lord. The Lord had chosen them. And of course, the Bible tells us, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. John 15, verse 16. We are chosen in Christ even before the foundation of the world. Someone has said, try to explain election and you may lose your mind, but try to explain it away and you may lose your soul. You see, God, in the most wonderful way, has chosen his people to be his, to be those who are the saved of the Lord, those who are brought into Christ, accepted in the beloved. And what a blessed thing it is this morning to know that the Lord has chosen us. What a humbling thing it is too that the Lord has chosen us this morning. They were chosen. But then they were delivered. Verses 5 to 7 of chapter 24. They were delivered from the bondage of Egypt. They were brought into liberty. It does the believer good to remember what it was like to be in the bondage of sin, and then to rejoice in the redemption that has been purchased so dearly for us on the cross. And we can say with Paul in Ephesians 1 and 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. What a wonderful salvation we have today. Deliverance from sin, redemption through the blood. And it's a dangerous thing to take the gift of salvation for granted. Let us never do that. But let us rejoice in the salvation that is ours in Christ. They were chosen, they were delivered, but then they were guided. Verses 8 to 10 of the passage in chapter 24 teaches us. You see, God brought Israel out that he might bring them in. He brought them out of Egypt that he might bring them into the land of promise, the land of Canaan. And his goal for them was that promised land. But their sin at Kadesh Barnea caused them to wander in the wilderness until that old unbelieving generation had died. As Israel marched behind the ark of God, the Lord defeated their enemies. When Balaam tried to curse Israel, God turned the curse into a blessing. We read of that in Numbers chapters 22 to 24. And whether Satan came against Israel as a lion, marked out there and mentioned by the army of the Amorites, or as the serpent, through the curses of Balaam, the Lord defeated him. They were overcomers. And thank God we are overcomers today through him who loved us. But then they were not only chosen, they were not only delivered. They were not only guided, but they were given. They were given. Verses 11 to 13 of the passage, chapter 24. The same God who took Israel through the Red Sea and took them across the River Jordan brought them into their inheritance, gave them their inheritance. And what blessings are ours today in our spiritual inheritance in our Lord Jesus Christ. The emphasis is on the goodness of God and all that he did for Israel because he loved it. But when they started taking their blessings for granted, they began drifting away from the sincere worship of the Lord. A grateful heart is a strong defense against the devil's temptations. Let us never become ungrateful. And even in relation to church and
the worship of God, and look what has happened in the past year. Reminding us all, maybe, I'm not saying it is the case, but maybe we just take these things for granted. Let us never do that. Let us be constantly reminded of the goodness of God, what the Lord has done for us as a people. So we have the prospect, we have the past, but then we have the present here. That's the final thing. Chapter 24, verses 14 to 33. One of the key words in this section is serve, as we've mentioned. It is reoccurring some 15 times. To serve God means to fear Him, to obey Him, to worship only Him. It means to love Him. It means to fix our heart upon Him. Obeying Him because you want to, not because you have to. And there are two things that we want to focus on under this. First of all, decision. Chapter 24, verses 14 to 18. You see, Joshua made it clear they had a choice to make. Either it was the false gods, the idols, or the true God. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Verse 15. There could be no neutrality. If they didn't worship the true God, they would end up worshiping the false gods of the wicked nations of Canaan. They couldn't do both. It was one or the other. There's no sitting on the fence. My friend, you make a choice today either to serve the Lord or to serve the false gods. You cannot serve God and mammon. There's no fence sitting. What will it be for you? You have a decision to make, even in this service this morning. And the people here assured Joshua they wanted to worship and serve the Lord God of Israel. And they gave the reasons. This first half of Joshua's address in verses 1 to 13 had made an impression upon them. Joshua declared that he and his house would serve the Lord only. As for me, verse 15, and my house, we will serve the Lord. Is that what you're saying today? And the people of God in verse 18 said, therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for He is our God. Decision. But then there's devotion. Verses 19 to 28. Three times the people affirmed their desire to serve the Lord only. Verses 16 to 18. Verse 21 and again verse 24. And Joshua took them at their word. And so that they wouldn't forget this solemn covenant with Jehovah the Lord, Joshua wrote it in a book of the law. And then set up a large stone as a perpetual witness to their agreement. In the past, we have mentioned that there were eight memorials up to that point, but here's the ninth. And the last memorial mentioned in the book of Joshua, verses 26 to 28. You know, there's nothing unbiblical about God's people reminding themselves and reflecting upon some wonderful event or a very sacred decision. So long as the memorial doesn't become the focus of idolatrous worship, it's good to remember what the Lord has done for us and how we've responded, but we must not live in the past. Religious traditions can be helpful or hurtful depending on how we use them. The book of Joshua closes with three burials. Joshua died aged 110. And was buried in his own inheritance. Eleazar the high priest died and was buried in Ephraim near Shiloh, where his son Phinehas had property. The bones of Joseph were buried in Shechem, in the plot of ground that Jacob had bought from Hamor in Genesis 33:19. And Moses had named Joshua as his successor. But it's significant that God didn't tell Joshua to appoint a successor. The elders who served with Joshua guided the nation after his death. But then the people went astray and began to disobey the Lord and worship false gods, the gods of the Canaanites. There was a departure, sadly, from the Lord, mentioned in Judges chapter 2. Verses 6 to 15. Why didn't the next generation know the Lord and what he had done for Israel? Because the people of Joshua's generation had failed to keep their promise, had failed to teach their children and their grandchildren, the up-and-coming generations, to fear and to serve the Lord. God kept his promise. And he chastened his people, first by bringing other nations into the land, verses 14 to 19. Then by taking the Jews out of the land, the northern kingdom were brought into Assyria and the southern kingdom to Babylon. But you know, one day, my friends, the Lord will gather Israel again into their land. God will gather his people again, establish them in the land of Israel. Chapters 11 and 12 of Isaiah mention that. Chapters 51 to 52 as well. Ezekiel 36 and 24 and following verses. You see, the Bible tells us in Habakkuk 2:14 that the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Here was the end of an era with Joshua's death. And it will come, there'll be an end of an era with us, with me, with you, with all of us. Whether it's noted in the family or noted in the church or noted in the workplace or in the wider community. Joshua's death. But he finished well. He finished well. It's not how you start, it's how you finish that counts. I'm always aware of that, having conducted a very long ministry. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. We need to stay the course. We need to be like Paul, able to say, as we mentioned in the earlier part of the message, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Let us endure to the end like Joshua. Let us be consistent. Let us be constant. Let us not be careless nor complacent. Let us keep on going on for the cause of Christ, for the glory of his name. As we've journeyed through Joshua, I trust it's been a blessing and a challenge to your heart. You're not saved today. I trust you will trust in Joshua's God and own him as your Lord and God even this morning. May God bless his word to all of our hearts. We'll join in the singing of concluding hymn as we remain seated and sing moderately. And then we will stand for the closing prayer and you'll exit, as you've been indicated to you, various exits here, these sides, and also the main exit, of course, depending where you're sitting. The session members are to wait just in the body of the church for a few moments after the morning service, as soon as it's practical for us to do so. 594, it'll be up on the screen. When my life work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, in the bright and glorious morning I shall see, shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side. His smile will be the first to welcome me. Thank you.
us stand, please. Father, we thank you for thy word this morning. Apply it with power to every heart. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship, communion of the Holy Spirit be the abiding portion of each one, today, tonight, and tomorrow, and with all who are saved forevermore. Amen. You may be seated.